We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic!
What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is March 11th, 2024. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, disappointing weekend. How are you holding up?
For every great episode we get to do, coming off wins, there is a bad one. And yes, thankfully, we've not seen a loss, back-to-back losses, since late January. So we had it coming. We've been riding high long enough, and it was our time. So it is what it is. And we're going to talk all about it, the ugly, just like we always do the good, but it definitely sucks.
Yeah, unfortunate. We'll recap for sure the loss to the Knicks in New York, the loss to the Pacers at home. Luckily, Luke, as we look around the rest of the league tonight, the Knicks lose to the 76ers, the Heat lose to the Wizards, the Cavs lose to the Nets. Like, you look around the Eastern Conference, some other teams did us favors tonight by handing teams losses. So although it's unfortunate that the Magic lost, currently you're still fifth in the Eastern Conference. You still control your own destiny. We'll talk about all that kind of stuff. But yeah, overall was a pretty disappointing weekend, and we will get to all of that. Want to give you guys some quick updates. First of all, we've been talking about this group night the last couple episodes, or teasing about it the last couple of episodes. We announced it on the last episode. This group night that we're doing come up on March 30th when the Magic take on the Memphis Grizzlies at home. We're doing this awesome thing where the Magic are letting 60 of us play on the floor prior to the game. So we announced that in pretty early, what was that, Thursday morning. Tickets were completely sold out of that. Now, we have talked to the Magic. If we have the opportunity to bring diehard Magic fans with us to a game and get them discounted rates on tickets, why wouldn't we do that when we're going to be there? So we are going to open up more tickets to the game. Now, you won't have access to the pregame, you know, hoops and everything like that that day. But if you want to come to the game with us, if you want to come and meet up at Jam Hot Chicken before the game, you'll be more than welcome to do that. You'll get good deals, you know, a good deal on Magic tickets. So we'll be posting a link to our, you know, social media accounts in the coming days. So if you want to come to that game, March 30th, it is a Saturday when the Magic take on the Grizzlies, and you want to be at that game with a ton of other diehard Magic fans. And, you know, if you want to come hang out at Jam Hot before the game, please feel free to do so. So be on the lookout for that. Now, if you were able to get tickets, first of all, you're a real one. If you're listening to this pod and maybe you missed the last episode, or you missed the last couple of episodes, or maybe you typically just follow us on social media and you decided to listen to this, Magic fans, as early as like 12:30 a.m. Saturday, when that episode went out, were able to purchase tickets. So if you were one of the folks that sort of waited and saw that we posted on social media, like a few minutes after we posted to social media, the tickets were completely sold out. So lesson learned, if you're a real one, you're a diehard, you support the show, you want to come to events like this that we put on, just listen to the show. That's going to be the best way to hear about all these things first. We put out usually our episodes like around like midnight, 2 a.m., somewhere between there. So you'll be first to know when we do different events like that. So always be listening to the show and be looking out for cool events that we're going to do. Now, again, if you're part of that 60, the way that it is going to work is that day from like 1 p.m. to like 3 or 3:15, like somewhere in that window, the Magic are going to follow up and give us some more information on that. But basically that day from like 1 to 3, we're going to be hooping. And what we're going to do is we're just going to like tally up the number of people that are there that actually want to play. Like, for example, my wife is coming. She doesn't want to play basketball, but she wants to be there for the experience. So not all 60 of us that are there are going to want to hoop. So we're going to count everybody that wants to hoop, try to divvy people up into, you know, five-man teams, and then, you know, basically do like a little, you know, maybe like a tournament or something like that to where everybody gets to play like up and down, you know, at least two games. At my age, 30 years old, if I run up and down for a good 10 minutes, I'm going to be winded and ready for a break anyway. We're doing it because, you know, 30 people shooting on one hoop at a time is really not going to be fun for anybody. So this gives us the ability to get up and down a little bit. Everybody has a good chance to get some run in and have some good competitive, you know, fun before the game. So looking forward to that. And then after that, probably about like 5 o'clock or so, we're all going to meet at Jam Hot Chicken, hang out, maybe eat if you feel like it. And then Luke, we are going to head over to this game. I have started my like conditioning, trying to get a little bit into shape here, Luke, see if I still have the jump shot. So I'm working on my game. Are you going to be trying to get like, you know, tuned up for this game at all?
I would love to, but I don't know when I'm going to do it. I don't have even the setup you have in your area. I do not have that.
It ain't right, much, right? But it's something.
It's a hoop, right? All I got is like my son's like window hoop and his little one outside. I mean, I'm always getting buckets on that, but yeah, I don't think I'm going to really have the time. We're just going to hope that the jumper looks as good as it did 6 months ago, and it probably won't, but that's all right. We'll, I'm sure we'll have a designated 5-10 minute warm-up time before we start shooting, so hopefully I can see one go in, and cardio-wise, it's over. It doesn't matter. Like, that's... It doesn't matter. I could run from now till March 30th. It wouldn't matter.
Oh my God.
It wouldn't matter. The 10 minutes running up and down, I might need 5. We'll see. Yeah. Low defense. I'm going to shoot. So ain't nobody on my team going to outshoot me. I'm going to tell you that right now. But yeah, you're all going to out defense me. That's for sure. But yeah, no, looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And like you said, your wife will be there, doesn't want to necessarily play pickup. Completely fine if you got the experience and don't want to play. My wife, Lauren, is not going to play. So, yeah, if you guys got that on-court experience, it's cool to be even on the court, in the area, on the sides, on the court level, whatever. So hopefully you guys can come out and we'll make it a fun time.
My whole goal for us, Luke, is just to not look like we've never picked up a basketball before.
You can't do that. I don't have a podcast.
That's what I was telling my wife that. She's like, why do you care? I'm like, you don't understand. Like, people have to come away from this. Like, at least those guys have somewhat of a background. Right. If we go out and we're looking like Stanley from The Office dribbling a basketball, nobody's ever going to listen to this podcast ever again. So I'm doing a little bit of handle work, working on the jump shot as much as I can. I'm trying to do like 10 minutes of pure cardio almost every day between now and then, so I can at least give it a solid 10 minutes in that first game, get a break, maybe give a few good minutes in another game. And as long as people come away like, you know what, those guys aren't complete trash, for us, I think that is an absolute W.
Yeah. And can I add one thing here before we hop onto the next thing here that you're talking about, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Real quick, Kevin brought this up to my attention. You've been dealing with some internet stuff, so you weren't able to hear. But 65, if you're on YouTube right now, 65% of you are subscribed, which is great. Honestly, above average for YouTube channels. However, that does mean 35% of you guys watching this video right now are not. So if you could just real quick hit the subscribe button. We are approaching 5,000 YouTube subscribers rapidly. So would love for you guys to do that. Want to do a quick call to action. Just do that for us. Does us a huge favor. It gives us a lot more value than the effort it takes you to just click the button. So we'd love that from you guys.
Yeah, really, really appreciate you guys. And yeah, I was dealing with a lot of internet issues. Wasn't quite sure that Jonathan was going to make it to this podcast episode, but we are here nonetheless. Next topic here. So our next watch party is coming up this Friday, March 15th, when the Magic are in Toronto taking on the Raptors. We're going to be at the Twisted Handle, which is located at 1632 North Mills Avenue. It's going to be a 7:30 tip, so 7 o'clock watch party. So come out to the Twisted Handle again, 1632 North Mills Avenue. Probably on our Wednesday episode, Luke, we'll go through the menu and take a look. I've done some preliminary scouting, and we've got some prospects that we may be able to allocate some draft capital to. So we'll talk about that on the next episode.
Perfect.
Now, without further ado, let's get into the state of the Magic this week. The Magic went 2-2 with wins over Charlotte and Washington, losses to New York and Indiana. They now currently sit fifth in the Eastern Conference with a record of 37-28, 13 games back of Boston sitting there in first atop the Eastern Conference. We're five games back of second place Cleveland. Oh, wait, no, there's been a change here since Milwaukee beat the Clippers. So I'm updating this in real time. We are five games back of Milwaukee. We're 4.5 games back of Cleveland. We're a game back of New York, one game up on Philly, one game up on Indiana, a game and a half up on Miami, who lost to the Detroit Pistons tonight, or the Washington Wizards. I know it was one of the bad teams. 5.5 games up on Chicago, 7.5 games up on Atlanta. On the season, the Magic are 23rd in the NBA in offensive rating with a rating of 112.6, fourth in the NBA in defensive rating with a rating of 111.3, and they are 14th in net rating with a rating of 1.3. Luke, I want to take a quick look at the Magic after the All-Star break, because these numbers are a little bit better. After the All-Star break, in 10 games, the Magic are 7-3, 110.8 offensive rating, which is good for 19th in the NBA, and a 107.3 defensive rating, which is good for second in the NBA, and a 3.5 net rating, which is good for sixth in the NBA. So it's good to take a look at the big picture, but sometimes it's also good to take a look at like a recent snapshot of how the Magic are playing, Luke. Looking at the injury report, J.I., Gary, Wendell were all out Wednesday, all returned to the lineup on Friday. Jalen Suggs has missed the last two games, Friday and Sunday, with a right thigh contusion that he suffered Wednesday against the Washington Wizards. And Markell was out on Sunday with a left knee strain. So guys out of the lineup, guys coming back in the lineup, then we lose a couple of other guys. Jalen Suggs, his absence has really been felt the last couple of games here, Luke.
It is unfortunate that he has done that. I also will correct one thing real quick. On the standings, we are a half game back of New York. I believe that you had just said that it was a full game back.
So that changed after the loss to Philly was finalized. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So they are 37-27 and the Magic are 37-28. So yeah, we are a half game back. Just wanted to throw the correction out there before
I appreciate it. That's typing. Where we are at this point in the season, like doing a live recording here. Games are wrapping up across the league. And literally minute to minute, the standings in the Eastern Conference are changing. So although, again, we talk about how disappointing this weekend was, it just goes to show you, like, yeah, you crap the bed against New York and Indiana. You're only a game back of New York and you're still a game up on Indiana, half game up on the 76ers and a game and a half up on Miami still. So, yes, it sucks. You would have loved to see the Magic sort of, you know, put some space in between, you know, some of these other teams, but we wake up, you know, Monday and we're still sitting, you know, fifth in the Eastern Conference, and we're going to have some games this week with the chance to, you know, get as high as fourth by the time that the week is over. So it's not all, you know, rain and lightning and all that kind of good stuff. So, all right, our next segment is brought to you by our friends over at Jam Hot Chicken. It is this week's Jam Hot Chicken Jam of the Week. We're going to take you back to what day was that? Tuesday. I'm trying to see. You actually can't see us in this replay because we're sort of behind the basket here. But we were at this game. Go to the 5-minute, 12-minute mark in the third quarter. The game was tied 56-56. Franz Wagner and Wendell Carter Jr. both trap Brandon Miller on the sideline. He coughs it up. Wendell throws the ball ahead to Jalen Suggs. Jalen scoops it up, drives right and dunks on top of Nick Richards, the and one foul. And Luke, I've never experienced being an away fan, like on the road in another team's building and just feeling the oxygen just be completely sucked out of a building like we did Tuesday night. It was electric, one of the best dunks I've ever seen in person. And this week, it is your Jam Hot Chicken Jam of the Week.
Shout out Jay Sizz, Jalen Suggs for the throwdown. Please come back soon. We miss you. With that being said, Jam Hot Chicken Jam of the Week, as you guys all know, is brought to you by the good folks over at Jam Hot. They are located at 400 West New England Avenue, Suite 13 in Hannibal Square. They're in Winter Park. You guys can check out jamhotchickenfl.com to access the menu, do order ahead, all that good stuff. Follow them at Jam Hot Chicken on all social media. And when you go and visit them, let them know we sent you. As you guys may or may not know, they are the Nashville and LA inspired hot chicken shack to hit up in Winter Park when you guys are around there. They would love to see you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go back, Luke, to Friday night, which going into that game, I woke up so nervous on Friday. Like a nervous excitement, almost to the point of vomiting for most of Friday, especially at tip-off and in the first couple of minutes of that game. You knew how big of a game this was going to be for the Knicks, for Knicks fans. You were on a, you know, Knicks Film School, you know, which came out Friday with our friend Andrew GMAC over at, you know, Knicks Film School. And everybody really understood that this was just a massive game for both of these teams, not only for the Knicks to avoid the season sweep from the Magic, but also like the fourth seed was literally up for grabs in that game. Knicks fans in the building definitely were aware of that. The New York Knicks were definitely aware of that. The Magic were definitely aware of that, but they just did not match the energy from the Knicks. Like right out of the gate, that crowd was just rabid. Knicks were playing with so much purpose and physicality, and it really bothered the Magic early on. Again, no Jalen Suggs, was a late scratch with the right thigh contusion like an hour before the game, if that. We found out that he was not going to be playing. Anthony Black and Gary Harris were in the starting lineup in the backcourt. Knicks opened the game on a 21-9 run, make eight of their first nine threes, Luke. But the Magic, they had multiple chances in the first half, I thought, to try to get that lead to five, like make it manageable going into the half, but they weren't able to capitalize and sustain any kind of run. Found themselves down 16 at the half. And then this is what it comes down to. The Magic are outscored 25-15 in that third quarter. They shoot 30% from the floor, 20% from behind the arc, Luke. In the entire second half against Washington, they shoot 33% from the floor and 20% from behind the arc. 35 total points in that second half. They score 74 points in a 74-98 loss. Again, you hold another opponent to under 100 points, but you are just never going to win a game in today's NBA scoring 74 points, Luke.
Highest scoring quarter was 23, and that was your first quarter. Your first quarter, the quarter in which you trailed by 8, was your best offensive quarter. And it's because you had one turnover. And it really felt like this like we had way more than like 13, 14 turnovers in this one. But yeah, after that first quarter, even though you were down, I still felt decent about it. But then you go into that second quarter and you drop 16. And they have 24. You play it rough. Like, I mean, you play a pretty good defensive game, all things considered. But you scoring 16 points in the second, and then coming out of that half, you're like, okay, we got to get something going. That third quarter, you score 15. Jalen Brunson was awesome. He was awesome in this one. Josh Hart was, I believe, really the heart and soul of this team for that game. And I think he's just the heart and soul of this team in general. But in this one, you could definitely see it. Like, playing against them firsthand, Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, they play 42 minutes. Thibodeau, as we know, has a reputation of kind of running his guys into the ground, but he also has a reputation of getting the best out of players. Precious Achiuwa, 14 rebounds, 15 points. Super impactful, despite making some really stupid decisions in this game. And yet yielding great results. I really think that's just the product of coaching and what Tibbs has done over in New York. This is a solid team. This is a team that I have said, even as of recently, like, I don't want them in the playoffs. I want no part of the Knicks in the playoffs. Regular season is a totally different thing. Did the Magic go 3-1? Yes. Was their context required for those games? Yes. But the Magic had played them very well coming into this game. So you had reason to believe the Magic could show up and play this game and win this one. But I do think Jalen Suggs is the X factor. Is he enough to erase a 24-point deficit like you end this game with? I don't know. But I don't know that it gets to the point that it got if Jalen Suggs is playing. Because you look at, you know, who's getting run around him. You look at guys like Anthony Black, and I know that also has to do with the fact of being, you know, Anthony Black being thrown to the starting lineup at 0-5 from the field. Like, it impacts rotation heavily. And in this one, super, super unfortunate outcome for this one to only put up 74 points. And I'm just thankful that the Knicks scored 73 against the Sixers to make me feel a little bit better about this offensive performance, but it truly was abysmal.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Again, like, I was looking more forward to this game than almost, you know, any other game, you know, from the Magic over the course of the regular season game, at least over the course of the last decade, like, outside of, you know, narrative kind of stuff like Paolo's, you know, first game. Obviously, everybody was really looking forward to that. But like, going back to like the 2018-2019 season, like the game in Boston where you clinched, you know, that last home game against the Hawks, where you just completely destroy the Hawks. Outside of a couple of those games, like, this was one of the biggest and most anticipated games of the regular season in the past decade for the Magic. Maybe the TNT game against OKC is up there as well. I have some like big picture, like, you know, conversation stuff that I want to touch on that also has to do with the Pacers game. That involves stuff that we caught a glimpse of and had questions of coming from this game to the Pacers game, which we'll talk about in another few minutes. But like, you were talking about Precious Achiuwa, like, the dude had 5 blocks, really gave Paolo a lot of problems. Paolo shoots 9-for-20 in this game. Like, you came away from this game feeling like, okay, Paolo like kind of shot the ball all right, had 9 rebounds, But apart from that, like, it felt like nobody had a good game, really. Like, J.I. was fine, you know, 11.6 rebounds, 4 of 6 from the floor. But Paolo, 23 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I'm sorry, 4 blocks, which I believe is a career high for him, but 4 turnovers. And, like, coming away, like, for me, it was, like, Paolo didn't look great defensively. Like, Precious Achiuwa gave Paolo basically all he could handle on both sides of the floor, really. You know, Precious had one of his better games for the Knicks. Franz, 6 of 20 from the floor, 13 points, 4 rebounds, and a steal. Not good enough. Wendell, 7 points, 2 of 8 from the floor, add, you know, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. Okay, but the 2 of 8, just not good enough from your big man. Anthony Black looked like a rookie. 0 points, 0 of 5 from the floor. Gary Harris was 2 of 5. Cole, 1 of 4. Markel, 1 of 4. He got hurt in this game and, you know, now missed the game Sunday against Indiana. Mo Wagner, 1 of 2. J.I., 4 of 6. Caleb, 0 of 1. You have some other guys that came in and it's sort of garbage time. But just an abysmal offensive performance from the Magic. But you do have to give credit to just, like, New York was stifling. Like, that level of defense, it was reminiscent of, like, that game 2 against Toronto back in 2019, where it just felt like the Magic couldn't do anything at all. And Steve Clifford used to say, like, if your best players don't play well, it's hard to win. Paolo was fine. Franz was not good at all. And I know, again, we have some sort of, like, bigger picture, you know, things that we want to talk about, you know, with Franz, because he also was not good, you know, Sunday against the Pacers. But yeah, really disappointing loss, you know, for the Magic against the Knicks. Again, we're going to get into some of, like, the big picture stuff as we talk about the losses from this weekend, Luke. But before we move on, is there anything else that you want to add from this game against the Knicks?
I'm glad you mentioned the stifling defense of Toronto and likening it to New York, because it ultimately feels like, and it really is a big reason I don't want to play New York come playoff time. We're finally getting to the point where you and I can talk about, like, who we would like to avoid in the playoffs, who we think gives us a better chance to steal some games, maybe even win a series. The New York Knicks are a prime reason why, like, this game was a prime reason I don't want to play them. They are, like, 7th best at protecting the paint. They allow 47 points in the paint, and all they did against the Magic was pack the paint. The Magic score 26 points in the paint. The Magic only shoot 26. Yes, you shoot 23% from three. You make only 6 of your threes, but you only took 26 of them, well below the average, and would be good for last in the league, which has been pretty on par for the amount of attempts you take. So with the fact that you took that low of amount of threes, regardless of your bad percentage, there's no reason you shoot 34% from the field. And all you have to look to is the fact that you scored only 26 points in the paint. Because you might not have been taking the threes that they might have wanted to be baiting you into, but it didn't matter, because when you got to the rim, Precious Achiuwa was there with his 5 blocks. When you ran to the rim, Isaiah Hartenstein was there, 3 blocks. There's a lot not to be desired in a playoff matchup with the New York Knicks, and that is another thing that's going to happen. You're going to get all your flaws exposed. We know good and well that if we walk away from a playoff series and the Magic lose 4-1, 4-0, whatever it is, if the Magic get beat handily in a playoff series, you and I would be able to tell you probably what happened without even watching the series. Oh, the other team packed the paint. We didn't take the bait. We just kept trying to hammer it inside because we don't trust our 3-point shot. The ones that we did shoot on low volume didn't go in. It's unfortunate, but it feels pretty inevitable. And this is just kind of a revealing of that. Will you put up 74 in a playoff game? I would hope not. I would hope that you could at least score 90 in a playoff game in every game. But it remains to be seen, because that type of blueprint and what they did schematically is simple, but very effective.
Yeah, I don't totally, like, disagree. I do think this is more of, like, an outlier performance from both parties. Like, are the Magic going to score 74 points again this season? most likely not. And it was like midway through the second quarter, and they were like, the broadcast was talking about how that was like the season high in blocks for the Knicks. Like that's not like, you know, what the Knicks are necessarily known for, especially with missing the defensive presence that they have in Mitchell Robinson. So I do think like the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? Like you mentioned, there's a lot of circumstance around the other three wins against the Knicks from earlier in the season. Tonight, or last night, I guess, against the Knicks, I don't think that was really like what the matchup is necessarily. Like, yes, do they not still have OG Anunoby, and do they not have Julius Randle? Yes and no. I think there's some good to that. There's some bad to that as well. Like sometimes when Julius Randle feels like he has it going, we're quite all right with saying like, yeah, go ahead, Julius. Like, this is your team. You lead the Knicks to the promised land. And more often than not, like, we've seen him not be able to do that at times. So I don't totally disagree. I think sort of where I am when it comes to like matchups is like, this team is not winning a title. So I almost do want to get to the point where like whatever team is going to best expose us and help us find what is wrong with this team and help like give us the blueprint of what to improve on going into this offseason, I'm almost like all for that. Like if that happens and teams expose a lot of flaws and the Magic are still able to make a playoff series competitive, I think that's like almost best case scenario. Maybe that happens in the second round if you get lucky and you get a good first round matchup. But ultimately, I think we all know that like this team is not winning a title. So I don't know that I'm at the point of like, oh no, like just don't give us this team or like give us that team. Like, would it be great to see a team like Indiana in the first round? Sure, because we have seen that we match up really well with them. But case in point, we played really well against Indiana first couple of games that we saw them this year. And tonight we were completely terrible. And I don't think that all of a sudden is like indicative of how we would fare against Indiana in the postseason. I do think with the Knicks, what we saw Friday night is probably closer to what we would see in a playoff series versus the other three games from, you know, earlier this year. So,
yeah. You're taking from a larger sample size. The stats show the Knicks pack the paint and do a great job doing that. The stats also show the Pacers allow the most at like 60 points in the paint a game.
Right.
So the stats are all there, but it will be interesting to see how you fare in the playoffs regardless. And I think that's this point, that's all we're waiting for.
And 30%, again, I just keep going back, 30% from the floor and 20% from three in that entire second half against the Knicks. Like, I'm slightly optimistic that we don't see that again this season. But I think it was sort of like a mix of things. And let's talk about that after we talk about the Pacers game. But let's go ahead and give a special shout out to our patrons, the folks that help make each and every episode possible, really, with your financial support. If you would like to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. Whenever we have brand new patrons, we give them a very special shout out. So shout out to Miguel, who joined at our All-Star tier, and shout out to Next Snappa, who joined at the Hall of Fame tier. I know Next Snappa, I think we've seen both of those guys in the Discord, if I'm not mistaken. So, hey, if you just want a Discord community where you can talk to a ton of Magic fans all hours of the night, all across the globe, maybe that's the benefit for you to join our Patreon, so you get access to the Discord. But we also give our Hall of Fame and Elite tier patrons a very special shout out each and every episode. Let me go ahead and start with the Court Cousins: Drew Gooden, Armin, Carson, Chulo, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Normal Magic Player History, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong, Donkey Punch Dave, Palin Franz's Warmth, Pierre A, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Eduardo Sanchez, Danimal, Dotto 15, Bobby Skinner, Goaty 93, Teddy Sylvia, Eric Lopez, Fuchsia, Bill Fulton, Edmund Lagone, Jose Esquilin, Caleb Pete, Cannibalism, Time Mr. TV, ESPN Really Sucks, Year 95, Shred, Junior Bruce, Half Reek, and Shahin 177, Bobby the Don, Himlo Ben Himro, RM Prop 221, Rapistron, and Magic Kid 714, Mysterious Mosley, Victor Cologne, Irish Magic Mike, Austin Lampy, Random Hustle, Only Franz Maria, Keith Walsh, Fritz, Currency Kev, Bruv Sal, Cason Green, Santi Leon, Kane Eckler, The Distract, Ahmad Timsa, Chansu, Tom Gatson, Dead Air, Richard Tuttle, Jeremiah Quintero, Magic Wired, Debo 1980, Magic Matt, Michael Thompson, Mama Richmond, and Next Snappa. A big thank you to all of our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Luke, let's go ahead and move on to Sunday night against the Pacers. Again, Jalen Suggs out for his second straight game. Markelle Fultz out. This time, Luke, instead of Gary and AB, it's Gary and Caleb in the starting lineup. Magic go on a 17-8 run to start the game. And I'm feeling pretty confident at this point. We've seen the Magic blow out the Pacers, you know, earlier in the year. I've had a lot of luck in, you know, each of their matchups so far. 17-8, I'm like, okay, that Knicks game really sucked. We're getting back to Magic basketball. This is a good matchup for us. A big win at home would be awesome. A couple of minutes after that, Rick Carlisle gets called for a tech with a minute to go in the first. The Magic were up 21-14 at that point, Luke, and they were playing with a lot of energy, a lot of physicality, all the things that we pretty much lacked on Friday against the Knicks. Carlisle gets this timeout. I think like J.I. had missed a layup and Carlisle was upset about a call that got missed on the other end. But in the moment, Luke, it was so early in that game, it felt incredibly intentional. I tweeted it in the moment. I basically said, like, this feels like it's going to be a factor in this game. Immediately after that, two straight possessions for the Pacers. Magic called for touch fouls on Indiana. And you just really feel the momentum swing. Indiana at that point was the team playing with that energy and playing with that level of physicality. But the Magic led by 6 after one. Really nice start to the second quarter. Puts the Magic up 15 with 9:23 to go in the first half. And then Indy closes the quarter on a 27-15 run to cut the lead to 3 at the half. And again, Luke, as terrible as the offense was on Friday in that second half against New York, the offense was equally as terrible on Sunday in the second half against the Indiana Pacers. Orlando shoots 7 of 21 from the floor in the third quarter, including 0 of 9 from 3. They're 8 of 24 in the fourth quarter, shot 33% from the floor in the second half, Luke, and 20% from the three-point line as they lose this one, 111-97. Two in a row, dropping this one to the Indiana Pacers now.
Like you said, the second half being just as bad offensively than it was with the Knicks game, 33% from the field and 20% from three. Inexcusable to say the least. And again, I mean, really where I went with the Knicks as far as like only scoring, you know, the low amount that they did in the paint wasn't that bad against the Pacers. But the Pacers, you should be able to, with the Magic being one of the better points in the paint teams, you should be able to hang 60 plus in the paint on the Pacers. And this one, they outscore you in the paint, 54-46. There's no reason for that. I think there was some lack of aggression in this one. I think that a lot of settling. Cole Anthony talked about it after the game, said that, you know, the ball just got kind of stuck in the second half. We really just got into playing ISO ball. And that's really the only explanation you need as to why this game stalled out in the second half. Not to mention, Indiana scores 39 points in the third quarter. There it is again, Jonathan. That third quarter. Seems like more often than not, if you have a lead in the first half and you end up losing the game, it's because of what happened in the third. 39-21 is inexcusable. Fourth quarter, you pretty much play even. You win the quarter by one. You score 26. They score 25. That third quarter loses you this game. And I really think it came from a place of just no energy, no effort. Three-pointers you're already a bad three-point shooting team. But even tonight, I mean, Paolo 1-for-8, Bronzo of 3, Dell 0-5, Caleb Houston takes 1-3, plays 22 minutes. And honestly, if Caleb Houston isn't shooting threes, what's he doing? And he played 22 minutes, only shot 1-3, and he missed it. Frankly, I don't care if he makes it. Like, he needs to shoot more threes. If he's going to start, you've got to, especially with the surge this team needed. 1-of-6 from Cole Anthony from 3, 0-of-1 from AB. And then what if I told you, Jonathan Isaac would be tied for your best three-point shooter in a game at any point this year? 3-of-4 from 3, and he looked good doing it. And maybe one of your only bright spots in this game, Jonathan Isaac, with adding 2 blocks, 7 rebounds in 19 minutes, 9 points, all of them coming from 3. Joe Ingles, 3-of-4 from 3, 4-of-5 from the field, 11 points. So really one of your only bright spots came from, like, you could argue Wendell, because he had 15 rebounds, and Jonathan Isaac. And that really, really is about it, honestly.
Yeah, to your point about points in the paint, like, the Pacers average giving up 59.3 points in the paint per game, and the Magic score 46. And like, yeah, that's supposed to be the point of the Magic's offense, is to get to the paint, spray out the shooters, get to the free throw line, all that kind of stuff. And this is another game where, like, you know, at least Paolo Friday against the Knicks, it felt like he was shooting the ball well. Didn't shoot the ball well in this one. 19 points, 6 of 20 from the floor, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 3 turnovers, and each one of those turnovers just felt like backbreaking, to be honest. Franz Wagner, we were texting before this game, I was like, there's no way that Franz has like another bad game, right?
Yeah, that's wrong.
13 points, 5 of 14 from the floor, 0 of 3 from behind the arc, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a turnover. Wendell, yeah, sure, like, you know, 15 rebounds, like 6 offensive rebounds, because the team was just shooting the ball so poorly. But 5 of 13 from the floor from a guy that most of his touches are coming within 5 feet. Not good enough there. Gary Harris, 27 minutes, almost 28 minutes, 5 points, 2 of 3. Gary's another guy. It's like, if he's out there, like, you need him taking at least 3 or 4 threes a game. Caleb, you already touched on that. Joe Ingles was okay offensively, but continues to give you basically like nothing defensively. Like, there was a 2-on-1 Friday against the Knicks where, like, he was back and gave almost zero effort, like, to contest the attempt at the rim. Was just like out there running around. Like, I have no idea what he was doing, but his I know we're not asking Ingles to be like a world stopper defensively, but like, a lot of times, like, the effort isn't even there. And that is a bit frustrating. Cole Anthony scored 7 straight points for the Magic. I think that was to start the fourth, if I'm remembering correctly. But he ends up with 16 points, 4 of 14, shoots 20. Like, we don't need to do this. Everybody shot poorly in this game. The team doesn't even crack 38 freaking percent from the floor. Like, it's just completely atrocious. I guess now is the point to have this conversation, Luke. Is it the moment, like, these games now that we're in March, like, none of these guys have played apart from, like, Gary and Joe and, you know, maybe J.I. Like, a lot of these guys have not played meaningful basketball with expectations into March where we are now. Like, we've talked about how this weekend, probably, like, the 2 consecutive, like, biggest games for the Magic outside of, like, that 2018-2019 team in like a decade, for a team that has any type of hope to make like a meaningful playoff run, these were the 2 biggest like regular season games in more than, you know, 10, 11, 12 years even. And they come out and lay a complete egg. Now, against the Knicks, it was the last game of a road trip. It's your 3rd game in 4 nights. You lose that one. Everyone knows you go on a road trip, that first game home when you only have a day off, kind of hard to get right. You know, you see a lot of teams drop that first game back at home after coming off of a road trip. So, like, is it that? Is it the moment? Is it rest? Is it not having Jalen Suggs? I do think that is at least part of it. I think it's a big part of it, because how many times throughout this season where the Magic have been lacking energy and they are looking for somebody to give them energy. How many times is that Jalen Suggs, especially at home in front of the Kia Center crowd? Like, there's a lot of things to consider here, Luke. But when I go through the schedule, Luke, there are a lot of games that are concerning, right? Like, you have the big win at home, you know, against Denver, you know, in November, right? Like, that felt like a massive win, but you were sort of playing with house money. Like, nobody expected you to win that game. It was the second night of a back-to-back. Then that Friday, the in-season tournament game, Black Friday, at home against Boston, was a massive game, and everybody comes out. Obviously, Mo Wagner was incredible in that game. 27 points helps you get to the win in that. But as we go through, Luke, you know, the Magic, you know, had that big, you know, win streak. Then they lose to Brooklyn. They lose to Cleveland. You have a game against Detroit where you get a win. You have another one against Cleveland a couple of days later. Then you have 3 days off. You're going into that weekend in Boston, December 15th and December 17th. You get the doors just absolutely blown off. Then your very next game, a couple of games later, at home against the Miami Heat, a team which did not have Jimmy Butler, you lose 115 to 106. Now, you bounce back a couple weeks later. You have a win. You lose another game to Miami. Sorry, another game to Miami that you lose 99 to 96. And in that game, again, no Jimmy Butler. So two games against Miami in which you lose without Jimmy Butler. A couple of weeks later, you do end up getting Miami back. You blow them out. They had Jimmy Butler. You blow them out that Sunday, January 21st. But then when we start scrolling here, Tuesday, February 6th, Jonathan Isaac was talking before the game about how they knew how big of a game that was for the Magic. They come out. They lose 121 to 95. A week later, you have one of your biggest home games in a decade. You're on national TV. You're on TNT. It's Shaq's jersey retirement night. Like, the Magic have had one of the best regular season atmospheres that they have had in a very, very long time. What do? You come out in that game, you get blown out. Now you go into this weekend here. Again, big expectations, big moment. Stakes are high. You're playing for the fourth seed. You get blown out. Couple of nights later, now you're back at home against a team that you've played very well this season, who's right behind you in the standings, by the way. We had no idea that Miami was going to lose tonight and the Knicks were going to lose tonight. Thankfully, they did. But these guys just got their you-know-what's kicked. Paolo Banchero said it after the game Friday. And like, the Magic, time and time again this year, when they've gotten their butts kicked, they've come out and they've responded and they've played really, really well. And then you just have an absolute dud again against Indiana. So I don't know exactly what it is. I can't like quite put my finger on what exactly the issue has been. Maybe it's rest. Maybe it's Jalen Suggs. There's a potential that these guys are just not ready for the moment yet. Is that the end of the world? I don't think so. Is that the most likely answer? Probably not. But it might be. I don't know.
I'm willing to bet that it is just simply your young team has shown growth in the way of, if it is a team below 500, if it is like essentially a non-playoff team, we're going to come in and take care of business. We saw it against Charlotte. We saw it against Washington. We've seen it all year where they just figure it out against bad teams because simply
in the second half, they figure it out.
Yeah, but regardless, the end of the game, it's typically a W. Now, you have, to that point, you've got 28 losses on the year. 17 of them are against above 500 teams. So 17 of your 28, 11 of them are against sub 500 teams. So I kind of just did some quick research after the game tonight, because after the kind of dud that was laid, I was like, okay, well, let's try to pinpoint it, see if it's maybe just our young stars, or not just, but just see how they've played, Paolo and Franz. I went through, and at first it seemed like it was going to be just Franz was the inefficiency when it comes to these games. But it turns out it's both of them. Franz Wagner in games, in our losses, that's important to note, in losses, because it's kind of like, okay, when we lose these games against above 500 teams, how did our stars perform? Because if it wasn't them, if they're performing well, then we can probably say it's kind of on everybody else, role players, whatever, not just like our guys aren't stepping up. Franz Wagner shooting in those 17 games, 110 for 276, which breaks from the field, which breaks down to 39.9% from the field in those games. Franz Wagner this year shoots, obviously it'll go down a little bit after tonight, but as of before tonight, shooting 47.8% from the field. So essentially, he's shooting like 8-9% worse from the field in games that we lose above 500 teams. 3-point percentage, 18 of 86. This is the kicker. 18 of 86, that's about 5 threes a game, roughly. 20.9% is what that breaks down to. Not good. Not good enough. Paolo Banchero, 136 for 337 from the field, which is 40.4%. Otherwise, Paolo Banchero shoots 46.2% from the field. Again, that might go down slightly after this game because the basketball reference is not accounting for that game yet. 3-point percentage for Paolo Banchero in those games against teams above 500 that you lose, 26 of 88, 29.5% from three, also roughly breaks down to about 5 threes a game. So, or that could be inaccurate actually, but he's shooting 36.6 on the year on 4 attempts. So you can deduce that a lot of this comes from the sense of inefficiencies. Inefficiencies from your two stars that you're going to need more out of as time goes on, and I expect that to happen. But right now they're just trying to learn, and I went back to correct myself here. There's no correcting. Paolo Banchero shoots 5 threes a game in those games. So about one higher than his average. And you've lost those 17 games. So there's a lot there in terms of just efficiency, lack of efficiency. There's more there, but that kind of gives you guys a look inside of, okay, well, how do our stars perform in those big games? And ultimately, that's how it breaks down. Just inefficient young stars to be somewhat expected, but still, you can't be shooting those type of inefficiencies.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely checks out. Like, your best players don't play well, like in losses. Like, that's kind of why you lost. I would like to know, like, just overall games against teams above 500, what their efficiencies are like. Not just the losses, like wins and losses. Because, like, yeah, it makes total sense that in a loss, like, if those guys don't play well, we have no shot. Like, that's everybody knows that on like a nightly basis. But like, just looking at the team. Like I listed like what, like 7 or 8 games here, and we won basically like one or two of these, like on the schedule. We know these are big games going into them. Guys have talked about how big these games are, and then going into them and just like laying an egg. Now, the good news is we look around the league tonight, teams did us favors. Washington takes down Miami 110-108. Philly takes down New York 79-73 in a score, which I don't think two teams have scored below 80 points since like 2016. I think the stat was tonight. So all in all, like, you're still the 5th seed in the East. You're half game behind New York. You're half game up on Philly. You're a game up on Indiana. You're a game and a half up on Miami. And the Magic have, you know, 4 games coming up that on paper, We've been talking about this. This year, the Magic are 22-6 against teams that are below 500. And each of the next 4 games come against teams that are below 500. So should pick up, you know, at the very least, like 3 out of the next 4 games here. Hopefully that will be enough to get us another game or maybe even 2 of separation or to catch up to, you know, some of these other teams that are sitting there in the Eastern Conference. But it comes down to, for me right now, that like guys just need to be better. Like up and down the roster, guys need to be better. Guys need to be put in better situations to succeed. Like the play calling the last couple of games seems to be lacking, right? Like Fazan went back and did some quick research, and play calls that were, the Magic had a lot of success against the Knicks. For whatever reason, Magic weren't going back to those play calls. It's not that they were going back to those play calls in the game and then not working. Like from Fazan, and this kid, all he does is watch film and go through and keep data on these kinds of things. He's saying that the Magic basically didn't go back to those actions whatsoever. I'm trying to pull up the tweet now from Fazan, if I can find it while we're here. So they ran the following plays the most tonight. Delay Chicago in 77. Orlando ran stack effectively versus New York previously. We saw it zero times last night. Orlando ran pistol effectively versus Indiana previously, and then they ran it basically zero times Sunday night. So I don't think they're being necessarily put in the best situations to succeed in these games all the time. I think Jamal Mosley by far and large has done a great job. But like from top to bottom, Friday night, Sunday night, knowing the implications of these games, to me, the more disappointing game is Sunday against Indiana, because you just got your butts kicked, talked about how you got your butts kicked, talked about how everybody needed to be better, and you were still pretty awful Sunday night. So really, really frustrating. We're probably going to feel pretty good this time next week when the Magic, you know, win a few of these next games that are coming up. But it's something to keep an eye on. Like the Magic schedule and like how easy it is basically about to come to a stop. You've got Brooklyn, Toronto, Charlotte. But then you've got New Orleans, Sacramento, Golden State, Clippers, Grizzlies, Blazers, Pelicans, Hornets, Bulls, Rockets, Bucks, Sixers, Bucks. So these stretches where you've got like three or four games against like cupcakes, after these next four games, that's pretty much done for the rest of the season. And the teams around you in the standings are going to be like continuing to compete. You know, New Orleans is fighting for position. Sacramento's fighting for position. Golden State is as well. The Clippers are. Like Chicago's trying to, you know, stay like in, you know, play-in range. Milwaukee, Philadelphia, all these teams are fighting for, you know, playoff standings in their respective conference. And I don't know that there's not like there might not be anything wrong with this team not quite being ready for the moment just yet, because these are really like their first experiences into moments like this. But it's like, okay, wait, do we have to shift our expectations just like a little bit? I feel like it's good to do that every so often. Like in November, we thought this team was never going to lose again. Then in January, it's like, okay, wait, are we not good? Are we good? And then you go through February, like, oh my gosh, we're awesome. We're here. We could be the fourth seed in the East. And now it's like, ooh, like we might like really, really be just good with getting the sixth seed and staying out of the play-in, right? So expectations are always shifting. I don't want anybody to come away from this weekend feeling like the sky is falling and that all of a sudden now we're super low on this team, because we're not. But it's just another like evidence point to consider, I would say.
I want to add one more thing here before we move to the week ahead and everything. Another point that Fazan made in regard to like running plays and whatnot, there was a discourse that started tonight, because it did feel like, even Cole, like I said, Cole Anthony talked about the ball sticking, playing a lot of ISO. People just like saying crazy things like, did the Magic run anything at all? Fazan's point was the Magic do run plays because they're an NBA team. But when the play breaks down, there's not a second or third action like some other offenses have, right, to go to. After that, it just becomes isolation, which he says, which why it looks like it's always isolation, because a lot of times your first action may not work. And for me, we talk about, and what you talked about with the playoffs was like, okay, I would love, and what you said before is, I would love for a team to come in and just like expose all of our flaws and come the postseason, so our front office knows this is the direction we need to go with players. To the same point, I'm hoping that truthfully, Mosley, what he gets from the playoffs is, I need an offensive coordinator. I need somebody that can take maybe some mental load off of me offensively, because I am so defensive minded, and just let him, because at this point, and maybe this is his plan. Maybe his plan was, okay, we're going to establish officially this defensive identity. nail those schematics, make it the foundation, and then I'll worry about throwing a bunch of things at them with an offensive coordinator. Maybe that's what's going to happen. I don't know. But I'm hoping that that's what the game plan is, or the blueprint is for this coming offseason. He brings in an offensive-minded coach for his staff that can really just run the ship on that side of the ball, and then he can take care of everything. The personalities, doing what he does so well, defense schemes and everything like that. And then we can get to the point where we have a guy in there kind of calling the shots offensively. I think it's the best for both, for all parties involved. But I'm hoping that that's the kind of what is the takeaway after the postseason.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, I don't think we're going to see like a ton of new wrinkles from this team offensively when we get into the postseason. Mm-mm. Jamal Mosley is almost certainly headed for an extension, just the way that this team is performed and really overachieved this year. At least, you know, if you ask the national media, the way the Magic have, you know, overperformed, and probably I would guess even to the front office's perspective, at least to a certain extent, I'm sure they felt confident that they could be close to this. But again, you know, going into the second week in March and you're fifth in the Eastern Conference, I don't know that even the most optimistic person thought that we would be here. Especially given the amount of time that we've missed key guys this year. But again, Mosley is almost certainly headed for a contract extension and is going to be here for the foreseeable future. But if we're not going to see, like, you know, pretty significant improvements to the offense, I don't think it would be the worst idea to bring somebody else in. If for nothing else, to fill a role on the bench, like Nate Tibbetts, you know, left, you know, earlier in the year. And like that, like, lead assistant role, I guess it's probably been, you know, taken on by, you know, like, you know, Dale Osborne or Jesse Mermis. But it does feel like, you know, with Mermis, Dale Osborne, you know, Nate Tibbetts, he had like a really good balance of like player development, you know, defensive mind with Dale Osborne, who I know helps out, you know, on the defensive side of things. And Nate Tibbetts, it felt like, did help with like the offensive side of things. So bringing in like another, you know, lead a assistant there, you know, that has more experience in, you know, offense does seem like it could help this team. So that'll be something to watch for sure. But yeah, I don't want to jump to a conclusion. Like, I do feel like there's a possibility that next week we're like, oh, those guys were just tired, or, oh, they were just missing Jalen Suggs. Or we could, a couple of weeks from now, be like, yeah, this team is just not performing well in big games. And that's sort of been a common theme throughout the season. So I thought it was a good idea to bring that up, Luke. Do you have anything else before we just take a real look at the week ahead?
No.
All right, let's do that then. Wednesday, so the Magic get a couple of days off here. Wednesday, you've got Brooklyn at home. That game tips off at 7 o'clock. You're off Thursday. Then Friday, they'll be in Toronto. That game tips off at 7:30. Again, we are going to be at the Twisted Handle on Friday, which is located at 1632 North Mills Avenue. That watch party will get started about 7 o'clock. So you're at Toronto on Friday, then you come home, you're off Saturday, and then you have Toronto on Sunday at 6 o'clock. Luke, the way that the Magic have taken care of business against below 500 teams recently, Brooklyn's not been good. Toronto's not been good, especially now that they're without Scottie Barnes. I am just going to get it out of the way and say the Magic go 3-0 this week.
I'm going to hope that they do the same, but I am going to say that you split with the Raptors just for that, the sake that it's hard to beat a team twice in a row. I'm hopeful that you do, though.
Dude, they're so bad.
I'm going to say you go 2-1.
And if their last three games, a loss, 128-118 to the Blazers, 120-113 to the Suns, and 139-98 to the Pelicans.
Yeah, they're bad for sure.
They're bad.
But
that would be anything less than 3-0 this week is bad. It's not good. You've got to go 3-0 this week.
I'm hoping that on Wednesday they can prove to us that they are officially over the Brooklyn Nets.
And yes.
That even though you beat them last time, the Nets still have gotten you two other times. So I'm hoping you can tie the season series with them. If you beat Brooklyn soundly, then I'll feel confident that you're going to beat the Raptors twice. But forgive me, I just witnessed my team score 74 points.
So, yeah,
So, yeah, I'm going to say 2-1 just to be safe.
Oof,
but yeah, I going 3-0 would be awesome, all things considered.
Yeah. And yeah, beat Brooklyn. Definitely should do that. Hopefully, you know, with the Monday and Tuesday being off, getting a couple of days of rest, that'll be good for Jalen Suggs. You know, by that point, he'll basically have had like a week off, which whatever other bumps and bruises and ailments he might have had could definitely use having another week off for him. So hopefully Jalen Suggs is back by Wednesday. And Adam Papagiorgio, you know, pointed this out on Twitter earlier this evening. But yeah, the Magic definitely need to make sure that they sign Jalen Suggs to an extension this offseason and just get that out of the way and get that kid wrapped up here. So again, just a couple of things. If you guys are coming to the group night on 3:30, just a reminder, we're going to be hooping that day from around like 1 to 3, somewhere in that window. Might be a little bit before, might be a little bit after. So be on the lookout for all the coming details. I'm sure our guy John McCall and his team are going to send over all the details in the next couple of weeks here. Our next watch party coming up this Friday when the Magic take on the Toronto Raptors will be at the Twisted Handle, located at 1632 North Mills Avenue in Orlando. That is going to do it for this one. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You all have been listening to The Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sixth Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!